sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning to you, and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And per usual, I have with me
Mark Carr, member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team.
Yeah, Mark is a member of the team, and we have got our resident attorney.
Yes. I love every time Ron comes on. I learn so much, and he challenges me in the law. I love it. So I look forward to this.
Ron Shalott, my attorney at law. Why do I have to say, I can't just say lawyer or attorney? What does that mean, attorney
at law? The attorney part actually just means representative. At law means before the courts or in a legal process. Lawyer is a person who administers through the law, that talks about the law and is knowledgeable of the law. So when we do like a durable power of attorney, we have an attorney in fact, which is just a representative of the individual, an agent. So that's really what attorney means. So we tend to use the word attorney loosely, though, to equate to lawyer, but it doesn't have to.
So to me, you are my, other than friend, you are my attorney at law?
Attorney at law. Okay. I'm a lawyer.
Lawyer.
But I'm your agent in court matters, so I'm your attorney at law.
There you go. Okay. Well, he's the guy I turn to. Let's just say that, okay? To contact Ron, if you have a question, it is 528-2890, 528-2890, or go to BeckyIvins.com and look on Becky's favorites. There's a tab that says favorites, and look on my favorites. He is listed there. You can link and hook right up to him and be able to meet up with Ron, and you've helped a couple of my clients recently. We just actually had a court hearing this week, right?
That is correct. We did on a matter we've got going on trying to sell some property. They can also contact me by email, which is on your favorites page, the email address. I'm getting, I have to guesstimate between 60 and 70% of my client communication is now by email.
Huh. Hmm.
It used to be, back when I first started, of course, there wasn't email. But we had, of course, phone calls, and we used to not have voicemail. Now I have 24/7 voicemail. So even if you call on today, the 4th of July, you will at least be able to leave a message, and I'll be able to get to it. But if you go to your favorites page and if you email me, I might look at it today. I do watch my email very closely, look for communications. So I've been known to email people back at 4 a.m. sometimes.
Well, if you can't sleep, that's a good thing to catch up on, right?
It's a sad thing to admit, but unfortunately, that's the way the world is now. And it used to be I'd lay there at night and go, gosh, I wish I could get in touch with them because I'd got to tell them. I got to remember to tell them this. And so now I can just get on my phone and get on my email and send it away, and then I can go back to sleep.
Yeah. I think that most likely most of us work more than we used to because of the conveniences.
Well, it's more, but it's also more effective in the sense of we are responding to things more timely, or I'll see something on a weekend or an evening and decide whether or not that's something I have to address immediately or first thing the next business morning that comes up, or how these things are. So consequently, it's been very helpful. It actually relieves stress because now I'm not sitting at home wondering, gee, I wonder if there's a phone call message, or I'm wondering if there's something in the mail, if it gets to me by email, or if it gets on my voicemail and I do check it, then I can certainly access it, and it relieves a lot of stress.
And we're into relieving stress.
That's right.
For sure. Okay. What are we going to talk about today, Ron? Have you thought about that?
Yes, I've actually thought about this.
Okay.
Since the last time we were here, which was a couple months ago. But we were thinking about, so what would you want to tell a client that comes in to see you, and what would you hope that they do with the rest of this year? We've been in a very unusual year up till now, July 4th. The first half of this year has been a nightmare. So what would you advise for the rest of the year for people to do with the idea that we've got this problem with the virus going on, and the virus is continuing, and some people are getting very sick, disabled, some people are dying from it? What would you hope for people in terms of the legal process?
Okay, in terms of the legal process?
In terms of the law and legal matters, yes. What would you?
I'm glad I've got your cell phone number so that I can go. Ron?
Ron, what do I do?
I need you to change this really quick. I just got COVID, and I want you to change this on my will right away.
Well, and sadly enough, that's the case. We are more talking with people about the need to act quickly. When I meet with people on estate matters, whether it's the first time or not, I try to encourage them to act more quickly now, because this is something that if they do succumb to it, they will succumb quickly or become incapacitated quickly. And it's opened, I think, everybody's eyes to the fact of how fragile we are and fragile life is, and we need to have that kind of planning.
Right.
I think that's really timely. Like, I had a buyer just in this past week who, it's a mother-daughter, both are at risk, would be in an at-risk category, selling a property in Missouri. It's been family land since the 1800s. Buying here, have already, they're under contract, and it's like they're wondering, do I put it in the mother's name, or do we put it in the mother's name and then transfer it to a trust? And they're trying to figure out what happens if one or both of them kind of, you know, contract the virus, then things could change quickly. And so I think very this quickly. Is very timely
very
advice.
Very quickly. But the first thing you need to do is really look at what you've got and how it is. That seems pretty stupid, but pretty basic, but it's actually very smart, because we've had this situation, and the one I know Becky was referencing here at the beginning, you have a property, real property, a house. What name is it in? You know, where is it at? If you have a trust, did it get transferred to the trust or not?
Hmm.
And if you have the trust, what does the trust really say that happens to this? What do you do with that real property? Or what have you done with that real property? Is it joint tenancy with a right of survivorship or not? And what if you are residing with someone that you're not married to, but you both live in the house? Do you both own the house? You need to look at these things now and get those things figured out. Know where you're at, first off, and then talk with a reputable legal counsel to help you understand where you could be and perhaps should be.
So get your pencil out. It is 405-528-2890. So we're going to talk about inventory as soon as we return, because our inventory is not going down, it's going changing. Up. We'll talk about that when we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. My life is real estate. I love it. I love my business that I'm in. How about you, Mark Carr?
I do. I love it because it interacts so closely in people's lives. It's not about the houses as much as it's about the people. And I love that about it.
Right.
It's so much fun.
I'm a social worker with a real estate license.
Yeah.
And that's
so
that's it. We are here with my attorney, Ron Shalott. He can be your attorney too. I'm going to give you his number a couple of times. It is 528-2890. And I told you we would talk a little bit about the market when we came back. Do you know, Barbara Corcoran and I recorded a commercial about a week ago, and her prediction. And Barbara Corcoran, if you don't know her, she's Shark Tank. She's the real estate mogul that is a spokesperson for real estate on ABC and NBC, the morning shows. But she predicts that we're about to have a very big influx of properties going on the market. And guess what? For several months, we've had 50, 54, 60, 48, in that 50 range of properties that go on the market each day. And that's the entire 7 county plus, or 9 county plus.
Right, it's 9 counties plus.
9 counties in our multiple listing service. But we can list properties all over the United, all over the state of Oklahoma.
Right.
So we have had that many properties go on the market, central Oklahoma, basically.
Yeah.
Now, the last week, guess how many we've had, Mark?
I'm going to guess. Do you want me to take a guess? I'll take a guess.
No, because I don't want
you to be
really,
wrong.
That was
you want
a
me to okay.
rhetorical.
Oh,
question.
All right.
Okay.
Well, then rhetorically, how many, Becky?
There you go. Over 100 a day.
Yeah.
So basically double what we've had for the last several months we have now.
That is
going on the market.
Right.
So what does that mean? People are now having to put their house on the market.
Right.
During the middle of in this COVID environment that we're in, folks are not going to choose to put their house on the market every time. Some people are holding back until they feel safe for someone to come into their home.
Mm-hmm.
But they're putting their house on the market because they've lost their job.
Yeah.
They can't make their house payment anymore.
Yeah.
If we have an onslaught of properties coming on the market, guess what happens, Mark? This is not a rhetorical question.
With the number, it's supply and demand. That when you have more buyers than sellers, then property goes top dollar. When you have more sellers than buyers, then it's usually a buyer can make a lower offer and get the property.
Yeah.
So if it is, if you've been holding back selling and thinking,
Need
to do it now.
Do it now.
Now.
Do it now because we still have a scarcity.
We do.
It's just that it seems and it's predicted to where we're not going to have so much of a scarcity. So if you want top dollar for your property, let's get it on the market
and
now.
And this is not, I mean, there is certainly pandemic driven here, but there's a natural part to the market, right, Becky? I mean, you've seen this through the years that the scales tip one way and the other. Sometimes it's balanced and there are different things that happen. It always changes.
When's the best time to put your house on the market?
Today.
Well, my answer to that is whenever you have a need or a want to change your place of residence.
Right.
It's not just because the market is hot right now for sellers, but if you're kind of thinking about moving and selling your house, then you want to think about it quicker right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have no desire to sell your house, you should not be putting your house on the market, right?
Right.
So it's when you have the need and the market aligns properly is the best time.
Yeah, and how you and I always talk about this is the part of real estate that we just love, that it interacts with people's lives. What is their need? What is it there's their desires? How can we help them fulfill what is the best next step in their life?
Right. Okay. Well, that's kind of our market update. And pay attention to that because that's going to change. We're here with attorney Ron Shalott, attorney at law Ron Shalott. And Ron, if someone needs to come see you because maybe they're in the age bracket or a vulnerable population, and if they get COVID, they're going to get sick really fast, what do they need to bring with them? What information, what documents, how long will it take, how much will it cost? How do they prepare for this because they need to do it soon?
Well, the first thing you need to do is if you have a house, know what where your house is deeded in and who the deed is held. So bringing that in or having that information, certainly knowing your mortgage company, which you should know. But you'd be surprised how many people don't know this stuff. Know who your mortgage company is, certainly. Look at your insurances that you have, life insurance. Look at your retirement plans if you've got IRAs, 401ks, things of that nature. Know what those are held in. If you have beneficiaries named, who they are. You want to look at bank accounts you have, in whose name are the bank accounts, who are the signatories to the bank accounts. Then with regard to any other personal items that you have, if there's title to them, like a car, what's the title in the name of, whether it's a joint title or a singular title, and other things that you have that are important to you or that are of great value. Obviously don't want to know how many dishes and plates and cups and saucers you've got, but you may have a collection that is valuable, and we can look at that, see what your holistic, your overall plan is, and discuss it at that particular point. But we need to see the overall plan. We need to see what you've already got, what you've already done in terms of the insurances, the tax-deferred matters, even your bank accounts. Is there a beneficiary clause on there? Because all that's going to affect what you do in your overall plan. And then have an idea of an overall plan. What are you thinking as to where matters should go, where things should go, or generally have some thoughts about that so that we can talk about that. I also always preach about durable powers of attorney, which is what goes into effect if you become incapacitated. Who would you nominate to be your representative, your agent, to make business decisions, healthcare decisions for you, and having discussed with them what your thoughts are, but have some knowledge or some idea as to who you'd place in that category in those positions, because those are things that we're going to talk about at the outset at an initial meeting. And if you don't have that information, you'll get sent home with a report card and some homework to come back the next time and to bring to me so we can talk about it a bit more. And it takes a little bit more time, but if you have that at the outset, it makes it go faster.
Can you have a different durable power of attorney for different sections of your life? Say you have, you want your younger sister to be in charge of your medical, but you want your oldest daughter to be in charge of your financial part.
You can split it up. A lot of attorneys do have the financial power of attorney is one document, and the health care is a different document. I tend to put them together, thinking that one individual probably should have the opportunity for both. There are times, though, that people will even have multiple attorneys, in fact, on any one particular document. There are certain problems that that can cause, and we would talk about the wisdom of that and the ins and outs. But the most important thing is to make sure you talk with whoever you're going to nominate so they know they're nominated, they'll agree to do it, and they know what your thoughts are, your ideas are.
Well, anytime you enter into anything, there's different players and there's different items. So come with a list of those things. We're going to talk more in depth about this when we return right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. I thank you for listening. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And you can ask me a question anytime. My phone number is 722-3232. Happy to help you with a real estate deal. You know, Mark, you probably know this. Mark Carr is with me, one of my team members. And Mark, how long are we usually in contact with someone prior to their making a decision about real estate?
Yeah. So usually, normally, it's over a year. 13 months, I think, is the average.
Well, 11 months.
11 months.
Is our current average.
Current
but it's
average.
About a year.
Yeah. It's about a year. We, you know, and that's where people, oftentimes they contact us and go, I'm thinking about, mm-hmm. which is a great time to contact because we can build a plan that will make it smooth as possible. Really good.
Well, and let you get educated on the market.
Yeah.
I mean, get the
right.
client educated on the market, right?
Yeah.
So
they're empowered to make the decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So call us, 722-3232. We are happy to get with you and give you some advice. I'm meeting with somebody today, right after our show, whose house is set to go to sheriff's sale.
Oh.
On Thursday.
Oh, boy.
And she says, Becky, is there anything you can do to help me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
Let's find out.
Because it's not over till it's over. In fact, at sheriff's sale, it's not over till 30 days after it's over, right? So. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to check a small repair, just complete a small repair, maybe change out those rubber jack things around your roof jacks, those little boot things, because our Oklahoma sun dries those out and cracks them, and then the rain comes in.
Yeah.
So they can change those out. They should be changed out every 6 to 8 years. So if your roof 6 years ago, if it's 10 years ago, you're probably too late, but they'll still do them for you, and they'll do a whole commercial roof. So they'll just tell you the truth about it, climb up there, look at it, and tell you what they think. Call my friend Larry Robbins, 728-3700, 728-3700. Our word today is?
Actually, it's a two-word phrase. It's in rem. You were talking about sheriff sales. And in foreclosure actions, we sometimes see the legal right against the property in rem, which is something against the thing itself or against the property. It's a legal term that we tend to use. It's archaic. The rem part comes from the Latin res, which is thing. You think of the thing as the race. And in rem means against the property or the thing. And you'll see that many times in foreclosure actions, a personal judgment against the person or an in rem judgment against the thing, against the house. So that way you can foreclose on the title to the house and take the race, which is the house, the thing. So in rem against the thing is our word of the day.
How about, can you take it against the business?
Well, the business itself would be a res if you've got some type of status against it that you could on a type of lien against the business, or if it's a collection action where you're trying to collect, for example, get the stock that someone has in a company or get their LLC membership right, you can try to go that way.
Okay. Well, that's good. Now, right before the break, we listed a list of things that you need to take to your attorney, or you can take it to my attorney, Ron Shalott, and go to get prepared for a trust, a will, just a plan for your life while you're here, and then a plan for your life after you're gone. And Mark, how can they get a list of those things?
Yeah, so I just envision someone driving down the road going, man, I wish I could remember what all he said, because it was a fantastic list. You can go to any of these programs. You can find them by subscribing to a podcast at Apple iTunes, at Spotify, or wherever you really subscribe to your podcast. And you can go back and listen to any of the weeks. And so what I encourage you, if you don't remember the list that Ron gave, was fantastic, is go and look at a podcast and re-listen to that portion and write it down.
There you go.
And if you have any trouble at finding the podcast, just call us, 722-3232, and we'll walk you through how to do that.
We're going to go through that list again real quick. Are you ready, Ron?
No.
Oh.
Basically, when you think about it, you think about, what do I have? What have I got? And it's your real property. So how is it titled? We just need to know to make sure. You need to know that as a real estate broker, when someone comes in and wants to hire you to sell their property, you need to know who really owns this thing, this race. And with regard to bank accounts, retirement accounts, what name are they in? Are there beneficiaries? Even life insurances, are there beneficiaries? Are those beneficiaries what you're looking at now? Actually, the last 5, maybe 10 years, I have seen a lot of people who already have estate plans. Perhaps they have a will. A lot of times they'll have a trust I didn't do. They'll come to see me and say, I got this trust. I don't understand what's in it, or I don't know anymore, or do I even have anything in it, or what does this do? And we talk about what their thoughts are, what's their goals, plans now in 2020 and beyond, as opposed to back when this was done in the 80s or 90s, and things have changed. A lot of trusts were created many years ago to take into account the tax purposes, the gift tax, estate tax, which we no longer have in Oklahoma and federal. It's up to about $11 million, so it's most people don't worry about that anymore. But yet there might be some reasons to split up the trust. So we look at that now. We look at what they've already got and try to discern, is that still a viable plan today? Have things changed?
Okay. So you make a list of not only what you own that needs to be dispersed after you're gone, you look at the players. Who is going to care, or who do you care about that need to be addressed or mentioned or at least taken into consideration?
Well, and it's even a little broader than that in the sense of, what if you become incapacitated? What do you do, or how are your things handled at that point? And so you want to even look at that aspect of it. We don't want to just assume this is something that only happened at death, because incapacity can linger for a while, or that can put you and your business and your assets at risk. So you need to have that planned as well. So it's a more holistic approach. Well,
let's just say someone gets the COVID and they're incapacitated.
Exactly.
Maybe they're in the hospital for a month and it looks like they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
So someone goes to, I mean, they're incapacitated, right? So the doctors sign off on it saying incapacitated. Somebody else is going to take charge of, say, the trust. And then they recover. What happens?
Well, in a trust or durable power of attorney, it's only active so long as you are incapacitated. If you revive, if you resuscitate, and you are now competent and capable, then you take back over, and the durable power of attorney or in the trust, the successor trustee will go back into suspense for a later time.
Some of us would have trouble proving we're competent. So,
but you raise a good point, because if you do have a trust, it complicates it if you also have a durable power of attorney. You want to make sure there's a continuity with that, that the person who is going to be operating the trust as a successor trustee, whether or not they can work with or are the same as your attorney, in fact, on your durable power of attorney. You want to make certain that those things work together, because your trust can perhaps control all your assets, while your attorney, in fact, will make health care decisions which could affect your assets. Then you've got such matters as the bills that you pay, your credit card bills, your car payment bills, your mortgage, things of that nature. Who files your taxes? Who gets the stimulus check? A number of things that we need to take into account if you're incapable of doing it, but also at the time of death, because in both of those situations, we can't ask you, well, what did you really want?
Mm-hmm.
You're either not capable of telling us or being sane, or you've passed away and there's no way we can get an answer.
Ron, this is so close to my heart, because for those of us who have experienced moments of incapacitation where you are in ICU, and I've had this experience where you are just focused on, can I breathe and can I get out of bed? I mean, that is the only thing you're focused on. Having taken care of all the other things allows you to focus on just being healthy. So don't wait. Get this done. It's really important.
And we all have a business, whether it's a real estate business or if it's just the business of our own checkbook, which gets income or has expenses come out of it. Things still go on. The world still goes on. And we need to be taken care of and made sure that we are not further damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be, without a durable power of attorney, you would go into a guardianship, a court guardianship, which is several thousand dollars and a lot of work and a lot of oversight.
Okay, we've got more discussion to go, but it's time for a break, and we're going to return with our smoking hot deals and more from Ron Shalott, attorney at law, right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate. I have to remember who I am there for a minute. It's a holiday.
What it's July 4th.
And
happy, a break.
Happy 4th of July to you, each and everyone, and do your best not to get sunburned today. And but do your best to eat a good old fatty hot dog with chili. Isn't that what it's all about?
God bless America.
Yeah. What are you doing today, Mark?
Do you know what? I don't know. I haven't heard whether fireworks are happening. I just have missed. I've been working so much, and I love it. And today I'm going to figure out later what we're going to do this
evening.
There
you go. You'll figure out by 3 o'clock what you're going to do at 5.
That's exactly right.
Well, if you're looking for a place, come to my house. We'll have those big old fatty hot dogs and burgers and maybe a few steaks on the grill and definitely a swimming pool full of cool water. So,
well, thank you, Becky.
Ron Shalott, what will you be doing?
Probably be biking.
Oh, on a day like today.
Yeah, on a day like today. If depends upon the wind. I haven't checked the wind speed. But we like to go biking. It's
Ron and I cross paths at Lake
Hefner. That's true.
Yeah. I was coming one direction, and you were coming the other, and I was like passing by, Ron. Like, who is that
well, don't crash.
Goofy guy? Well, we almost did.
Yeah.
It's right there by the golf course.
Yeah, it's good exercise, and it's fun to go out and to see a lot of different things. And this is Oklahoma City has a beautiful bike path going on all over the city.
I love it.
So there's plenty of places I haven't even been on yet. So,
well, I've got to work up to getting through my circle driveway on that bike before I go out onto a path. Ron, what are your words of advice as we end our show here?
Don't assume your property title is correct. I know that seems funny, but it's amazing how many people think their property is in a certain name. And then when they go to listed for sale, for example, or if they're just looking at doing something with it or not, or just doing estate planning, they look and they find out that it's not the way they thought it was.
So how do they find out? So somebody's panicking right now because they don't know where to go to.
Well, first thing you go to is look at your own records to see if you have a copy of the deed and look at that. In Oklahoma County, you can go on the county assessor's website. In fact, most of the counties around here, you can go on their county assessor websites, see who's listed for the taxes for the county. That should give you an idea. But you can go in even many of the county clerk websites and find out. Oklahoma County has a great site.
It's fantastic.
Number one in the country, frankly.
Yeah. If it's not, I'd be hard-pressed to find one that is better. So far as not only the assessed value, but you can also click on the deeds and find the county clerk and the recorder of deeds and look to see. If I don't know if anybody's filed anything in your property, sometimes that's interesting. But just don't assume it's correct. Look and see that it is correct the way that you want it. If you got a trust, that it's put in the trust. And then look to see if it is doing what you're intending should you become incapacitated or should you pass away. Is there a joint tenancy with the right of survivorship? Is it in a trust? Does the trust do what you want it to do? Do you have a non-testamentary transfer of property, the transfer and death deed that transfers the property? Not automatically you have to file an affidavit to get it into the beneficiary, but you need to look at those things to discern since that is your major asset.
Well, and do you, when you check the title of your property, and go to the website. You can don't just look at the name on the website, the county website. Oklahoma County is within 24 hours current, so that is helpful. But look at the deed. You can actually look on the links down at the bottom of the page, and you can actually go look at what has been filed. And we have had some occasions here in Oklahoma County and other counties around here to where folks have literally stolen titles to property. And you don't know. And then what they do is they go take a loan out on it, a fraudulent loan. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you've got to clear all that stuff up. So you need to check the title of your property. I checked the title of a couple of our properties and I was shocked. I was like going, thought I had that in the LLC. Turns out I didn't. One of my properties was literally titled in my call name, Becky, as opposed to Rebecca. And I was going,
How did that happen?
Well, it happened back in like 1991 for one reason. but it is So check the title of your property. Yeah. Get these things corrected. Ron, how much does it cost to come see a good attorney?
Depends upon what you're coming to see the good attorney for.
Well, I mean, like, just to have...
That is an attorney answer right there.
Yeah. Well, if someone wanted to schedule and say, I need to go over my stuff with you, Ron, what do you tell them?
If they've got an existing estate plan, it would be just on an hourly rate, which depends upon how complex you're going to be looking at matters. How hard you got to think. I mean, you're actually, you can look anywhere from, you know, $250 an hour on up.
Right.
But usually it doesn't take too terribly long. Depends upon how your plan is.
Turns out attorneys read pretty fast. So, Ron Schott, I thank you very much. And you guys, we're going to have Rebuilding together on next week. So be sure and listen to that, especially if you're 55 or older and you might need a little bit of financial help in an ownership position. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.